if anyone here is in advertising or marketing, kill yourself.
Anarchism is not bombs, disorder, or chaos. It is not robbery and murder. It is not a war of each against all. Anarchists stand for anarchy, anti-capitalism, anti-racism, anti-authoritarianism, internationalism, autonomy, direct democracy, ecology, self-organization, solidarity, anti-fascism, anti-neoliberalism, anti-nationalism, atheism, equality, and freedom.
Tune in to Subversion 1312, the 4ZZZ Anarchy Show.
Tuesday from 9 till 10 p.m. on 102.1 FM or streaming 4ZZZFM.org.au.
How about trying this future on for size?
Thank you, Brown Owl.
Good morning, Bernard.
Just 2 points, Minister. The Cuban political refugees.
Oh, not that again.
It looks as if there's a row blowing up over our refusal to do any more for them.
Well, it's not my fault. It's the Treasury.
Yes, quite.
You can't beat the Treasury, Bernard. I shall just say nothing. Oh, dear. One more public humiliation, and I shall become a political refugee myself. What was the other point?
Well, you asked me to find out about that alleged empty hospital in North London.
Oh, yes.
Well, as I warned you, Minister, the driver's network is not wholly reliable. Roy has got it wrong.
Thank heavens for that. How did you find out?
Through the private secretary's network.
And?
Well, in fact, there are only 342 administrative staff at the new St. Edward's Hospital. The other 170 are porters, cleaners, laundry workers, gardeners, cooks, and so forth.
And how many medical staff?
Oh, none of them.
None?
No.
Bernard, we are talking about St. Edward's Hospital, aren't we?
Yes, it's brand new. It was completed 15 months ago and fully staffed. But unfortunately, at that time, there were government cutbacks, so consequently there was no money left for medical services.
A brand new hospital with over 500 non-medical staff and no patients?
Oh, there is one patient.
One?
Yes, the deputy chief administrator fell over a piece of scaffolding and broke his arm.
Good God. Thank heavens I wasn't asked about this in the house. Why hasn't it got out?
Well, actually, I think it's been contrived to keep looking like a building site, and so far no one's realised it's operational. scaffolding, skip's still there, the normal thing.
The normal thing? I think I'd better go and have a look at this before the opposition does.
Yes, it's surprising the press haven't found out by now, isn't it?
Fortunately, Bernard, most of our journalists are so incompetent they'd have the gravest difficulty in finding out that today is Wednesday.
It's actually Thursday.
And that was a clip from, yes, Minister, a BBC comedy.
Yes.
From the 80s.
I remember that show.
Mark, you were too young.
No, I remember it coming up on TV, but I never actually watched it. So.
Yeah, you've seen it on YouTube now, though.
Yeah, and I've heard it on 4ZZZ.
Oh, well, yeah. So that actually relates to something else we're going to talk about later in the show, which is to do with refugees. But before then, we've got some other things to talk about on Subversion 1312. Linda, Mark.
Hi.
And Nathan.
Hi.
Oh.
And so we've got Bad Cop, No Donut coming up. But also we have Anarchist Jeopardy.
Yay.
And a brief introduction to anarchism on Quiet Revolutions. This one's quite good.
Yeah, I love that.
It's on like the things that aren't massive, but little things that people have done.
Which, you know, we need to do more of, don't we?
We do indeed. Yeah.
So Quiet Revolutions, that sounds really good.
Yes.
Yeah.
First of all, we want to talk about, there was just this week, there was so many funny things happened.
Were there?
Yes.
Like what?
Like Mark Latham and Miranda Devine.
Yeah.
Were...
And Lyle Shelton, he was a part of it too.
Yeah, they were doing this television thing and Mark Latham sat down and sat back on his chair and they all fell off.
They fell off the stage. They fell backwards off their chair. It was funny because it was at a debate for same-sex marriage, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, a debate against same-sex marriage, really, because they're all campaigners. Yeah.
And it was interesting because apparently the yes side of the debate lost by a really narrow margin, which is not kind of in keeping with what I know of the statistics of people who support marriage equality in Australia. So, who were the people who were on the Yes campaign? Like, who organised this event? And it sounds pretty shit, really.
Yeah, well, but the Yes campaigners didn't fall off backwards off the stage.
Because they're not idiots.
Yeah.
Yes campaigners would never do that because they're not stupid.
Yes. Also, I just wanted to mention that in my neighbourhood there was a no poster put up at the shops, and someone was, "Oh no, there's a no poster around the shops," and it made it sound like there were heaps of them.
Yeah,
and so up I went because I had to do something.
You went marching up the road.
That's right.
Going to sort it out.
Yeah, I got all I put my uniform on, my activist anarchist uniform on, and I went up there with a paint pen.
Yeah,
ready for action.
To do it, yeah, ready to.
Yeah, and I was going to come back later that night and paste over them or something. Yeah,
whatever you had to do.
Yeah. Yeah, but I thought, I'll just go up, I've got a paint pen, I'll do something now.
Mm.
So I went up and I found one, which was just outside my real estate office. Sorry.
Oh.
I hope they don't see me. Yeah. So, yeah, and it was the Marriage Coalition marriage poster of no, and it has a number of things which are going to happen, like it's an attack on free speech because of something.
All the ridiculous claims that they come up with.
So I brought a purple pen because I thought, purple would be good for like a gay thing.
You're absolutely right.
But they also thought that too for their thing. They had purple. So, but anyway, I thought about it and came up with something very clever to write on it. And I wrote false evidence appearing real.
Fear. That sums it up perfectly, really, in a really simple, succinct acrostic.
So that's a suggestion for anyone else who sees a no poster.
Yeah, just write.
False evidence appearing real. Fear.
Yeah, which is exactly all they talk about, is these claims of, what the consequences are. All these kind of wishy-washy, airy-fairy, nothing really solid of what those consequences are, that aren't founded in fact. They're just using them to create fear because they don't want change. So that perfectly, false evidence appearing real, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, it's totally not. And weren't you, Mark, we're listening to this morning?
Yeah.
The Q&A.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not someone that watches Q&A really.
It's a pretty controversial show, really.
Everyone people talks about it.
Yeah, it's the main show that people watch for political debate, isn't it? Last night's episode was all about same-sex marriage, and they had Anglican Archbishop, a no voter. They had Magda Szubanski, a yes voter, and then they had what's her name? I've forgotten her name. And they also had someone from the Catholic Church who was a yes voter. So two yes voters, two no voters. Magda Szubanski was the only one who was part of the LGBTQI community representing herself.
Well, I think I heard someone in that. Someone brought up safe schools.
Yeah.
And they're totally shut down straight away.
Yeah.
Someone said, that's got nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Don't talk about that. It's got nothing to do with it. But that's one of the things on the no posters.
Yeah. I mean, that they like to talk about the safe schools thing a lot. And it's like, well, how about we have another plebiscite for that? Or not, because that would be probably more damaging, really.
Probably, you don't need it it's just sex education and anti-bullying. That's right. It's something about bullying.
Yeah, it's just sex education, and the parts that like, because they were saying that you know, kids should be taught not to bully and stuff like that. But how do you teach kids not to bully, you know, gay and lesbian kids without teaching them that about gay and lesbian relationships? Like, you have to teach them about gay and lesbian relationships so that they have some compassion and understanding of it.
That's right. Ignorance, and then ignorance breeds contempt.
Exactly.
And,
so,
and fear.
I mean, and you don't have to talk all about, you know, dick and butt stuff, you know, to get the message across, really.
So we're going to go to a song now. It is 10 minutes after 9. You're on Subversion 1312. And we're going to hear a song by Tish Kong, and it's called Smash Things Up.
I love this song.
Smash things up! head.
Cough, 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 cough.
No, 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 no. Donut, 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 donut.
It's under law, and I rule.
That's right. It's that time of the week again. It's just after 9:15, and on Subversion 1312, we are talking about police and their misdemeanors and brutality. And Nathan has a pretty funny one, actually. It was quite amusing, this
it
happening.
It was. Yeah. What's the story, Nate?
Hey, this is a very funny story from the past, from 1996, from Australia. Hit that intro. Nah, I'm joking. So there was something in Brisbane, actually, in Futubeli, right? And like there was some scooter people, right? They were riding their scooters, like, blah, 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 blah. And they were like saying, like they were just riding their scooters, driving around and having a good time. But these cops trying to say, like, they were going side to side, side to side, and then they were like young, like very like 13 or 12 or something like that, so that they pulled them out, that pulled them over, like it's about 12 of them, and
what did the police do?
Well, one of them thought he had a baked potato with him, and so they punched him, right? Well, 12 of them,
yeah,
and he he got so what happened was afterwards the cops got the axe and starting chopping in like the wood, but like soon enough so the cops just punched the people, and from Futubeli and somewhere else.
Yeah.
But the thing is right now they're still like trying to figure out how this happened.
Yeah.
The parents and the police trying to figure it out. And telling right now, those kids, a bunch of wankers.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, two, like, they were so, like, they thought they could do anything they want.
Yeah.
But they got, I think they punched the kids. Right, yeah. So they punched him and punched them, and all of them went to sleep. So
yeah, so that was the scooter gang in Brisbane, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. When was that? Do you know?
Yesterday on Sunday.
Yeah, it was on Sunday. Sunday afternoon. There was quite a few of them, wasn't there?
Yes.
Yeah, just like all riding their scooters around dangerously in the city.
Oh, they look like they're mad people. Oh, I got a gun right now. Oh, we're gonna shoot them right now. Oh my, was way too much. Have a sandwich and stuff like that.
Yeah, well,
donut.
I don't think there were any like guns involved, so I think that's a good thing. But I did see a video. Did you see that video, Nate?
Oh yes. It's quite full on. Woof, 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 woof.
Yeah, so the video of... you can see the police getting a bit rough with these young kids, can't you?
Yeah, like, they're telling me right now, it's quite shocking what they did, right? Telling me right now, the cops are very confusing, right? They're very confusing, and they're trying to figure out how this happened.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Thanks for that one, Nathan.
Yeah, quite a lot of people were quite amused by this happening.
Yeah, even Kathy Griffin, she did a stand-up show last night in Brisbane. She was talking about them.
Mm.
Even she heard about the scooter gang.
Yes, she did. Yes, she did. Oh, from the past.
So we've got two more stories.
Yeah.
And then we're going to hear a TISM song.
Cool.
Related to scooters. police in New York City accused of violently sexually assaulting and raping a teenager in custody claims she consented to sex. The woman, under the pseudonym of Anna Chalmers, was in a car which was pulled over and searched for drugs. Two detectives, Richard Hall and Edward Martins, allegedly found drugs, but only detained Anna, not her two male friends. Taken away in a van, Anna was allegedly forced to perform oral sex and was raped before being dumped by the road. A DNA kit tested positive for the officer's DNA. That was a rape DNA kit. Both officers have been suspended and will go before a grand jury. Now, I don't think, like, most people aren't allowed to have sex on the job unless they're sex workers.
Yeah.
So even if they, and especially police officers, even if they did, even if she did consent to sex, like...
It's not right. Anyway,
they were working.
It's unprofessional behaviour.
Yeah.
And what, you know, what else are they doing? If they're being dodgy about that, you know, the mind boggles.
Yes. Astrolabe, who became a cult hero after headbutting former Prime Minister and all-round knob Tony Abbott, faced court on Monday. He appeared at Hobart's Magistrates Court. He didn't enter a plea and has had his bail continued. The charge has now been amended to causing harm to a public, to a Commonwealth public official, a federal charge which, if heard in the Supreme Court, would see Mr. Labe face up to 10 years in jail. Many Australian voters would rather he was given 10 years of free beer for this act of defiance.
Exactly. We were meant to interview him as well, weren't we?
Yeah.
We wanted to.
He's a bit, yeah. He doesn't want to do it, but maybe sometime in the future.
Yeah.
When he's in jail, he'll have nothing else to do. So the court case will return to court on January 18. So we're going to go to a song now by Tism. It's called 10 Points for a Razor Scooter.
I love this song.
And if you were on the road in the city on Sunday, you could have got heaps of points.
5 points for hitting petrol heads.
Jet ski us to.
No points for hitting P-platers.
They do not work for you.
3 points for a Volvo driver.
Got it right for stereotyping.
But here's the way to maximum points.
You'll do it without trying.
10 points for.
okay.
I love every time.
Me too.
I get to play Tism.
So do I. I love every time you get to play Tism too.
Yeah, that was 10 points for a Razor Scooter. Following on from a very funny incident on
with
the weekend.
The scooters.
Yes.
Yes, and at the end it said, and the police are waiting in Kangaroo Point to talk to the parents.
Yeah, there's a lot of parents they need to talk to. Jeez.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
Alrighty, Kathy Griffin you mentioned as well.
Yes, so Kathy Griffin performed in Brisbane last night. She's an American stand-up comedian, and she hasn't been able to perform in America lately or do any jobs at all in American media lately because she did a photo shoot where she's holding up Donald Trump head, and he's like all bloody and stuff, and it's a bit shocking, but... You know, a lot of people were really upset about it. And there was huge controversy. It was all over the news. People were talking about it. They hated her. And so she all of her tour dates in America were cancelled. All of the shows that she's been doing for years were cancelled. She can't get a job. So she's doing a world tour, which is a great idea. She's making money in places that she's never been before, like Brisbane. So... in the show last night, she talked a lot about the photo that she took and the investigation that came after it. So she was, so when the photo came out, people were saying that she was suddenly a part of ISIS, which is ridiculous. She was investigated for 2 months. She wasn't allowed to leave the country, and she was interrogated. And they asked her a lot of questions, and then kind of towards the end of it, Kathy asked them, you know, when they'd gotten to the point where they'd realised that she was definitely not a part of ISIS, she kind of asked them why they were doing it. And they pointed to above, like basically saying that it was the people above them, or Donald Trump, that had ordered the investigation. Because she was never a threat to national security. He went after her for personal reasons. And a president trying to destroy a comedian like this is unprecedented. No president has ever gone after a comedian in this way before. Donald Trump's sons have gone on the news and said that they don't just want to damage her career, they want to decimate her. That's the language they've used about her. So it's been really bad for Kathy Griffin, all for taking a photo, which is art, really, and you're allowed to make fun of politicians. So it's just been a horrible situation for her.
How many other people make fun of Donald Trump?
Well, all the time.
We're never going to work in this town again.
That's the thing, like, she did this photo and now her career is ruined, and that's like ruining free speech, isn't it? That she's not allowed to do that. But you know what's interesting? The story first broke through TMZ, the celebrity gossip blog, which is run by Harvey Levin. And Harvey Levin talks to Donald Trump regularly. And it's through his website that the news broke of this photo, and then it went, you know, it spread like wildfire. It was crazy. So it's kind of like that, you know, the media and the people who are on board with Trump and then trying to bring her down. You know, it just is really dodgy.
Talking about free speech, someone criticized me for writing fear on top of the no campaign.
On the poster.
Yeah.
Yeah, the real estate agent.
And oh, because it's free speech. And I went, well, that's my free speech to write on top of it.
Yeah.
And then I said, I love free speech.
Yeah.
I love free speech. I'm free speech to write on top of it. And I said, I love free speech even when it makes my friends suicidal.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing with free speech. You can have free speech, but you have to have responsibility.
Yeah.
And, like, you don't... It's not free speech to be a bigot. It's not free speech to be calling people names. That's not free... You know, that's not what free speech is about.
That's the wrong idea, isn't it? Like, people are allowed to have their views, but are you just being an asshole?
In most cases, probably yes. It's just after 9:30. You're on Subversion 1312. And I've got some refugee news coming up next. And hopefully, if we can do it, we'll get a live interview with Beirut Bouchani, who's on Manus Island in the detention centre, the regional processing centre, which basically they're closing down. The Australian government and the PNG government are closing it down. They've made alternative accommodation, but it's not secure, and 615... count them, 615 refugees and asylum seekers are refusing to move. So that's going to be a big showdown.
Yeah, what's going to happen?
Yeah, people are a bit nervous about what's going to happen there. So we'll have some more refugee news after this song. This song is called ASIO. It's by The Disables.
ASIO. I like that one.
Yeah, that's a good one. By The Disables, they have quite a few good songs. They're a local band. Now, got some refugee news, and this is the thing that happened that is related to the Yes Minister clip that I played.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is coming up. So two noteworthy things happened during the Senate estimates hearing. One was Immigration and Border Protection Chief Mike Peluso making a joke about torture when being questioned by Senator McKim about the situation for refugees on Manus Island. The second was reminiscent of the BBC series Yes Minister. Labor Senator Kim Carr, in the Senate estimates questioning the ABF personnel. Peter Dutton has stated, "We haven't had a successful boat arrival now in over 1,100 days. Did a boat arrive on Sabo Island on August 20? ABF, yes. Kim Carr. Did it involve 6 Chinese nationals? Mark can play the role of ABF.
Okay. Yes, I can.
Yes. Okay, and that was the answer, yes. And was there a Papua New Guinean people smuggler involved?
There was a New Guinean on board, yes.
Why is that not an arrival in Australia?
It's not an arrival under the scope of Operation Sovereign Borders.
Oh, I see. So, I want to be clear, just so that we understand what 1,000 days means, it doesn't mean Chinese, it doesn't mean East Coast.
We get illegal arrivals all the time, and have for years, as you know. The reason OSB was set up was not to deal with Papua New Guinea. As I articulated, it was to do with people arriving on the high seas, primarily out of Indonesia and Sri Lanka. Sometimes when a boat arrives, it actually doesn't. It depends on where it comes from.
And good to talk to you. Thank you.
Okay.
And actually, boats have arrived. There was a boat that arrived from Sri Lanka too. They're having other boat arrivals. But obviously, they didn't arrive.
Sometimes when a boat arrives, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It actually doesn't. So it depends on where it comes from.
Mm. Canstruct, a Brisbane-based civil engineering firm, and Liberal Party donor have been named as the successful tender to take over delivery of services to refugees on Nauru. At the time of writing, they had not signed the contract. Broad Spectrum, previously Transfield, opted not to renew their contract, which finishes at the end of the month. Actually, when they were taken over by Spanish company Fiverol, they were keen to withdraw earlier, but the government extended the contract. A strong no business in abuse and divestment campaign was a factor.
Hmm.
This is ridiculous, arbitrary, and mean and degrading, like most things the government does to refugees.
Yeah.
Refugees on bridging visas will now have to ask the government's permission to get a pet. According to SMH, shake my head,
Sydney Morning Herald.
The department declined to clarify whether goldfish, guinea pigs or birds were included in the crackdown, or whether it would apply retrospectively, forcing asylum seekers to obtain permission for pets they already own. Neither would the department provide a list of criteria for assessing whether an asylum seeker should be allowed to buy a pet.
It does seem arbitrary, doesn't it?
Yes. Although, I just wanted to point out that guinea pigs, goldfish, and rabbits, or whatever it is, birds are animals too.
Yeah.
That's what I have to say, being a vegetarian all the time. Do eat fish? No, fish are animals too. So,
yeah. Well, they're fish. Like, they're not mammals.
No, but they are animals.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Someone signed it up the other day. They have faces. So, there we
go. They've got eyes. They've got lips. They feel things.
They do in it.
They've got gills.
So, we're going to hear now from Combat Wombat and Asylum.
I love this song. So much. 4ZZZ 102.1 FM.
Know you take people, lock them up forever on some brute, lethal fear campaign, bureaucratic mental bricks of rhetoric and blame. For the folks off the boat seeking freedom from stripes and human rights, why else would they be risking their life? All I know is it's outrageous when courageous sons and daughters crossing waters now living in cages for ages, waiting while we conversating, arguing, debating on what's the real Australian or who's just faking or not assimilating more. Who's on the roof, hunger striking till their life abhorred? While circle goes berserker with their pepper spray, politicking politicians wishing it would go away, but the issue sustains as long as people do manage to escape the weight of a dictator's boot. To be processed and held hostage by attitudes, we all vote people in less indigenous group, many whom still treated like refugees on their own land. Intervention down under and underhand, it ain't
just here. We know it's many places. True. Plenty worse, serving up a racist matrix. Claiming case review on an individual basis. Feeding prison CEO individual pay slips as days rip. The gears on the calendar. Tension builds and builds till Christmas becomes a Attica. So add it up. We got enough space here to house a bit more action, compassion, and less tears before the overseers. Equating life with the lotto. Indiscriminate, indeterminate, incommunicado be the motto of the policy employed, but that ain't good enough for our future to be enjoyed. How about we take people, welcome them like we would want next sequel. Balance like the equinox. The truth is lethal for the ones who want it caged up. Placed behind barbed wire, wired up with that same old hate, evil, xenophobic paranoia. Take people, lock them up forever on some root. Lethal fear campaign, bureaucratic mental bricks of rhetoric and blame. Though we all equal, rarely does it manifest when more people living under mad oppression, fenced in, denied their request. For the wicked, no rest, nor for us to protest.
Combat Wombat and Asylum. It's 15 minutes to
10 o'clock.
The Colonel comes in with Nothing But the Blues. And we are now going to hear our section from Anarchism, a brief introduction to anarchism. And this one is called Quiet Revolutions, and then we're gonna play Anarchist Jeopardy.
Jeopardy, Japanarchy.
Chapter 8, Quiet Revolutions. The gulf between anarchist aspirations and the actual history of the 20th century could be seen as an indication of the folly of impossible hopes, but for the concurrent failure of other political ideologies of the left. Which of us was not profoundly relieved by the collapse of Soviet communism, even though we have had little reason to rejoice in subsequent regimes? As the penal settlements slowly emptied of their survivors, the true believers were obliged to question their assumptions. Many years ago, the American journalist Dwight MacDonald wrote an article on Politics Past, which included a long footnote that he later told me was the most quoted paragraph he had ever written. His footnote said, The revolutionary alternative to the status quo today is not collectivized property administered by a workers' state, whatever that means, but some kind of anarchist decentralization that will break up mass society into small communities where individuals can live together as variegated human beings instead of as impersonal units in the mass sum. The shallowness of the New Deal and the British Labour Party's post-war regime is shown by their failure to improve any of the important things in people's lives. The actual relationships on the job, the way they spend their leisure, and child-rearing and sex and art. It is mass living that vitiates all these today, and the state that holds together the status quo. Marxism glorifies the masses and endorses the state. Anarchism leads back to the individual and the community, which is impractical but necessary. That is to say, it is revolutionary. In a partial, incomplete, but visible way, several of the revolutions he sought have already transformed the surface of life. To take an example that is by definition superficial, one that is obvious and visible but seldom discussed, consider the revolution in dress in the second half of the 20th century. 50 years ago in Britain, the social class of men, women, and children could be recognized from their clothing. Today, this is no longer true, except for the tiny minority who can read the signs of expensive and exclusive dress. This is usually attributed to the growth of mass production and the fact that the garment trade is the first route to the global economy for a low-paid workforce in the developing world. But it has more to do with the relaxation of dress codes, pioneered all through the 20th century by the radical nonconformists' rejection of fashion. The ignoring of dress codes based on occupation or social class was a small and personal rebuff to convention. But of course, a far more significant revolution, gaining ground all through the century, has been the women's movement, rejecting the universal convention of male dominance. Among its anarchist pioneers was Emma Goldman, with her trenchant pamphlet on the tragedy of women's emancipation, arguing that the vote, which had failed to liberate men, was not likely to free women. Emancipation, she argued, must come from the woman herself. First, by asserting herself as a personality and not a sex commodity. Second, by refusing the right to anyone over her body. By refusing to bear children unless she wants them. By refusing to be a servant to God, the state, society, the husband, the family, etc. By making her life simpler, but deeper and richer. That is, by trying to learn the meaning and substance of life in all its complexities, by freeing herself from the fear of public opinion and public condemnation. Only that, and not the ballot, will set women free. It was among the anarchists that the habit began of what were called free unions, as opposed to marriages licensed by church or state. Today, these are almost as common as regular marriages, with the result that the stigma once associated with illegitimacy has, during the century, disappeared. This change was, of course, accelerated by the pharmacological revolution of the contraceptive pill. Alex Comfort, 1920 to 2000, was a physician, novelist, poet, and anarchist. His lectures to meetings of the London anarchist group in the late 1940s gave rise to his book, Barbarism and Sexual Freedom, published by Freedom Press in 1948, at a time when no respectable publisher would issue such a book. This in turn led to his Sexual Behavior in Society and to his phenomenally successful manuals on sex. In his book, More Joy, A Lovemaking Companion to the Joy of Sex, 1973, he included an anarchist account of the connection between sexuality and politics. He asserted that acquiring the awareness and the attitudes which can come from good sexual experience does not make for selfish withdrawal. It is more inclined to radicalized people. The anti-sexualism of authoritarian societies and the people who run them does not spring from conviction. They themselves have sex. But from the vague perception that freedom here might lead to a liking for freedom elsewhere. P. people who have eroticized their experience of themselves and the world are, on the one hand, inconveniently unwarlike, and on the other, violently combative in resisting political salesmen and racists who threaten the personal freedom they have attained and want to see others share. Comfort hoped that his books would provide both reassurance and liberation, and that they would be a contribution to another 20th century revolution, that of the relationships between parents and children. It is hard to imagine in today's Western Europe the punitive behavior of parents towards children that was taken for granted a century ago. The same is true of the relationships between teachers and children. The recollections of people who were school children in the first decade of the 20th century are full of accounts of the physical punishment they received or that they continually feared. In the century's last decade, a law in Britain banned corporal punishment in schools. This was not a sudden legal decision. It reflected the influence of a handful of progressive schools on general educational thinking. Many observers claim that the school system has failed to prepare for the dilemmas that came in the wake of the abandonment of physical punishment. The teacher is deprived of the weapon that was seen as the ultimate sanction of the school. This has resulted in increased numbers of children being excluded from school because teachers have declined to have them in the class. Anyone who has observed how one disruptive member of the class can make learning impossible for the whole group has no criticism to make of those teachers, especially since their employers put pressure on them not to upset statistics.
We'll hear the end of that next week.
Excellent.
It was an interesting thing. So right now we're
it's time
going to
four.
Play
Japaniki.
Japaniki, and
I'll
just get the intro. Someone should have done this earlier.
Let's get it. We need to hear the intro.
Yeah.
Because it's a really good one. That's not it.
No, it's...
That's like seductive music.
I've got you thinking there.
Yeah.
And...
Well, when you hear this introduction, you will just be blown away. I mean, if you're a regular tuner into Subversion 1312, you'll know what we're talking about. It is such a great game show introduction to this segment, and you're just going to love it. We also have a buzzer that we love to use every week. So...
What we might do is go into the first answer or question.
Well, okay.
And then we'll
do the introduction.
Yes.
Okay, so this is a pre-introduction question. Okay. Question number one. The revolutionary alternative to the status quo today is not collectivized property administered by a worker state, whatever that means, but some kind of anarchist decentralization that will break up mass society into small communities where individuals can live together as variegated human beings instead of as impersonal units in the mass sum. The shallowness of the New Deal and the British Labour Party's post-war regime is shown by their failure to improve any of the important things in people's lives. The actual relationships of the job, the way they spend their leisure, the child rearing, and sex and art. It is mass living that vitiates all these today, and the state that holds together the status quo. Marxism glorifies the masses and endorses the state. Anarchism leads back to the individual and the community, which is impractical but necessary. That is to say, it is revolutionary.
Okay, hang on.
We're gonna come back. Oh! Okay. Linda hit her buzzer.
What was Dwight McDonald's most quoted paragraph?
Oh, well done, Linda. Really well done. You got that correct, by the way.
Is Don in the booth? He's ready. Okay, here we go. Loosen up, camera two. Camera's
one, this is the introduction.
Line. In 5, 4, 3, 2, cue lights, one. Music.
See.
Now entering the studio with today's
contestants. It was worth waiting for, wasn't it?
This is Jeopardy.
warned August Spies, one of these no-government types, hanged in 1887 for his role in the Haymarket riots. And
what is an anarchist?
That's it.
My favorite thing is
anarchy.
Wow, what an epic introduction. We're going to keep going with question number two now. First, by asserting herself as a personality and not a sex commodity. Second, by refusing the right to anyone over her body. By refusing to bear children unless she wants them. By refusing to be a servant of God, the state, society, the husband, the family, etc. By making her life simpler, but deeper and richer. That is, by trying to learn the meaning and substance of life in all its complexities. By freeing herself from the fear of public opinion and public condemnation. Only that and not the ballot will set women free. Who said that? Oh, she's thinking about it. She's thinking, is she going to push her buzzer? Is she going to know? Is she going to push it? Oh, what's she going to do? She's thinking. Okay. She thinks she knows.
That was from this one. It's called Tragedy, The Tragedy of Women's Emancipation.
Yes.
And that's by Emma Goldman, who's the best.
Congratulations, Linda. 2 out of 2. You won Japaniki today.
Congratulations, everyone, for the knowledge.
Thanks for the knowledge
that you've had. And don't forget, on the 5th of November, we're having something at the New Farm Library.
Yes, come
on
to that.
If my dodgy story about what I'm doing and everything, if they let us we'll have it outside if they don't let us have it inside. It's almost 10 o'clock and time for a single song, a local band, and it's called Sniggerette. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. See you later. Check out Subversion 1312 online, autonomousactionradio.com, facebook.com/subanarchyshow.
Anarchy_show on Twitter. And on the 4ZZZ website, 4ZZZFM.org.au.